Welcome to the High Hopes Phillies Minor League Rundown. I'm Jason Springer here with Jeff Cohen, following the journey of the players chasing their dreams in the Phillies farm system. Jeff, we're through another week in the farm system. Adam Haseley's on a rehab assignment. Redding finished their first half and started their second half. Tell me what's on your mind this week.
Bamboo,
that's right. There's bamboo everywhere.
I mean, last night I was at the extra inning game where the Phillies won thanks to the bamboo and a little bit from Jay Bruce, of course. But I saw yesterday in a little shout out to Pat McCarthy that next to him in the booth, he had a little sprig of bamboo.
I did see that. Everybody's getting in on it.
Yeah, everybody's getting in it, but my only question to Pat is how long before they wrap that bamboo in bacon?
There you go. See, you're always on brand there for the Iron Pigs. Tell me what's going on. Let's talk Adam Haseley real fast, and then I know we want to talk a more serious subject.
Haseley is now at Redding on a rehab assignment. He is not looking too shabby. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, he started his first two at-bats with a home run and a triple. So
a lot of the Redding fightins hit triples yesterday.
Yeah, by the fourth inning, they actually had four triples, including Mickey Moniak, who's now leading the world, I think, in triples. I think he has nine through the first half of the season.
Not a bad start for the season for the young man. How you like that? Me calling somebody a young man. There you go.
Yeah, well, you'll get used to it.
I know you like
all
that
young
job.
Men. You know, pretty soon you'll get to the point like me, and then you'll call the managers young men too.
I've got time. Don't worry. We did want to talk about a more serious topic of netting in baseball. Go ahead, Jeff. I'll let you bring it up, and then we'll go through it.
You know, they came out with some more information regarding the kid, the 2-year-old who got hit by the ball earlier this season, Almora, and she actually, according to her father, has a fractured skull. So not that the severity and the injury should decide anything. You don't want to have knee-jerk reactions, but, you know, sitting in a ballpark, you and I sit at ballparks every week, I get people say they would prefer the netting not be there, but once you sit behind the netting, it's not obtrusive after a couple minutes, and it just doesn't make sense not to protect people.
You get used to it. It's not like I'm tired of seeing people hurt and injured and hearing, well, they should pay attention when they go to the game. How's a 2-year-old going to pay attention when they have their skull fractured and have a seizure? And it's not fair to the players either. I mean, the emotion of the players when they have to deal with the fact that their action basically almost injured somebody or did injure somebody, you shouldn't put the players in that situation either.
There's no downside. It's one of those things that it just doesn't make any sense. Economically, it's a no-brainer. From a fan safety perspective, it's a no-brainer. From dealing with players to making sure that they have peace of mind, it's a no-brainer. There's absolutely no downside. So it's something that we shouldn't even have to talk about, but I think that we all have to talk about it until it gets done.
Well, hopefully they start moving on it. We'll leave that there for now because we have a couple interviews that we want to get you to. So, Jeff, we talked with Jeff Singer and Connor Brogdon of the Redding Fightins bullpen. We're going to play them back-to-back. Any thoughts before we lead into them?
Well, the first is Connor Brogdon. I just have to say the last 10 games that he has had, he has been on absolute fire. He is in his last 10 games, his appearances, he's 1-0. He's got a 1.62 ERA. He's got two saves. He's pitched 16.2 innings. He's only given up 8 hits, 3 runs, 6 walks, and get this, 27 strikeouts. Again, that's in 16 innings. So
not bad for him.
This kid, huh?
Not bad for him.
I would say that's pretty good for a kid out of Lewis and Clark State in Idaho. I think that the Phillies have done pretty well with him, and with their need for relievers between him and Jeff Singer, who's also having a great time and doing well down at Redding, I think that the bullpen there is pretty impressive.
Let's get to those interviews, and then we'll come back.
So we're here with Connor Brogdon with the Redding Fightins. Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So Connor, tell me about what it's been like being up at Redding.
It's been nice. Good crowd pretty much every night, which is a little bit of a change from Clearwater. The weather's a little bit cooler, which is also nice.
Except today. It looks like it's about 80, 85 degrees. You're going to have good summer weather.
Yes, sir. Not bad. I'm not complaining by any means.
Now, you're a California kid, though.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what what was it like to go through the Philly system after being drafted from Lakewood to Clearwater and then back up to Reading?
Definitely a change. Where I'm from in California, it's kind of a dry heat that we have out there, and so pretty much every place I've been has been real humid. So it's an adjustment, trying to get used to incorporating rosin into while I'm pitching to, you know, keep the sweat down and mm-hmm. stuff. But it's nice, really green out here. It's not so green in California where I'm at, so it's definitely nice.
You prefer the West Coast or the East Coast?
I definitely prefer the West Coast. Born and raised there, so a little partial to it.
You also went to college out west at Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest, so that mm-hmm. was another change in its own. Definitely colder weather up there, especially in the winter, for sure.
You know, I thought for sure that the Phillies' first prospect from Lewis Clark would be you, but it turns out that there was another guy, Tyler Kanegi, from Lewis and Clark. Did you ever get a chance to talk to him?
I didn't, but people are always asking me if I knew him, and I think he was just a little bit before me, uh-huh. before I got here, yeah.
So what was it like to be drafted?
Really indescribable feeling. I kind of had an idea that I would go coming out of my senior year. I put together a pretty good year, and then definitely didn't expect to go on the second day. I thought I'd be more of a third day guy, but to hear my name called on day two was definitely was an awesome feeling.
So where were you?
I was actually in Las Vegas. yeah, just to kind of enjoy it. I think I'd just gotten done with the NAIA World Series, uh-huh. and I've been planning that trip with a couple buddies for a while. So we went out there, and definitely not a bad place to find out that you got
How'd
drafted.
How'd you find out?
It was just following the draft. I'd woken up at about 7 that morning to a couple text messages from some scouts asking if I would sign for X amount to a couple different teams, and then Phillies were the one who ended up pulling the trigger.
What was it like telling your parents that you had been drafted?
I think they knew about the same time I did. They were following as well, and I was on the phone with the scout who drafted me at the time, and then as soon as I hung up the phone, I had a bunch of text messages from them congratulating me and stuff, so it was a neat deal.
So after you were drafted, do you come to Philadelphia?
No, I didn't go to Philadelphia. I went straight to Clearwater.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you have the chance to meet any major leaguers?
No, I don't think I did meet anyone.
How about your first spring training?
Not my first spring training, but this past spring training I met quite a few. I backed up quite a few big league games during spring training.
Who was the guy on the Phillies that you really wanted to meet that you had a chance to talk to?
Aaron Nola, for sure. You know, everybody talks about how good he is. I'd watched him a lot, and I pitched one of like my second or third outing probably. I was walking out, and he told me good job, and that was a that was a really cool feeling for sure.
Good day, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
So now that you're up in Reading, is there anything that you're working on since you've gotten here?
Yeah, definitely working on harnessing my off-speed. I think the changeup's there where I want it to be right now. The slider is starting to come along. That was a really big focus point coming into the season, was commanding my slider, and I think it's definitely coming along.
Well, last year you were part of an amazing pitching staff, something that on our show we often refer to as the ace clause. And you and Zach Warren, Jersey Kid, were yep. the back end of the bullpen and quite the duo. What was it like working with Zach?
It was awesome. I always knew that if he was hot that day, that all I had to do is go out there and hold my own, and he was going to come in and get the job done. And then I was actually his roommate, so you know, we built a pretty good friendship. So for me and him to kind of go back and forth, tit for tat, if you will, it was always a kind of a friendly competition, but at the same time, it was really good to be able to put together the kind of season that we had for the whole pitching staff in Lakewood. I'm pretty sure we set the team record for shutouts, and I know that both of us were a part of a lot of those, so it was awesome.
Now, does it add additional pressure, or does it take pressure off to have? I mean, the starting rotation was crazy good last year.
Yep.
Does it put additional pressure on you when you come in after them, or do you just kind of breathe a sigh of relief that they've pitched so well to start the game?
There's maybe a little bit of added pressure because you don't want to go out there and throw all their hard work right out the window and mm-hmm. maybe possibly blow the game. But it, at the same time, it's really good knowing that you could count on them for 6 to 7 quality innings, and then to get to the back end where me and Zach were pitching pretty frequently last year, and then be able to shut the rest of the game down.
Every time we talked to a pitcher from there last year, they cited Brad Burgesson as one of the reasons that they excelled. What was it about Brad that made him such a good pitching coach?
His work ethic is insane. It almost sometimes for me, I'm kind of a laid back guy. It almost gets to a point where I'm like, man, you're doing a little bit too much. But at the same time, it's awesome. Anything you could ever need, mechanical help, extra work, anything, he's always there. He's always offering some extra help, mechanical help. You could always, you know, if you're in a slump and you're not feeling yourself, you could always just ask him, you know, at any time, what do you see? Can you look at film with me? Can you watch me do some dry work off the mound? And he's going to be there to help. So he's awesome. Awesome guy.
I also heard that despite him being a hard worker, that he also encouraged you guys to work with each other.
Yeah, definitely spent a lot of time on the bullpen mounds doing towel drills with a bunch of guys, and you know, so a lot of stuff works for some people. Like Zach, he has a kind of a unique delivery, mm-hmm. and so I found myself at times incorporating some of his delivery into mine. Like his high, he has kind of a high front side, and I found myself incorporating that into my delivery, especially once I moved to the bullpen from the rotation. And I still use that to this day, and it, I think it improved my command quite a bit.
You mentioned the move from starting rotation to the bullpen. Was that something that was hard to get used to, or was it something that you embraced?
It wasn't too hard. I was strictly out of the bullpen in Williamsport my first year, so I kind of adjusted there. If anything, the only adjustment was kind of getting out of that mindset that I have to pace myself to make sure I can go 5 or 6 innings as a starter to I'm going to come in and get 3 to 6 outs, and I can just let it all out, let it all eat 100%, and not don't really have to pace myself.
When you were at Williamsport, were you with Pat Borders?
Yeah, Pat Borders, yes.
Okay, what was he like as a manager?
Awesome guy, a lot of intensity, piss and vinegar, if you will. It's great, uh-huh. great manager to play for.
Did you find any beaches while you were out in Williamsport?
Any what?
Beaches?
No, sure didn't. Nope.
Now, you mentioned Zach Warren being your roommate. As a guy who was from the East Coast, as a New Jersey guy, did he take you to any local haunts?
Yeah, when we were in Lakewood, we went to Atlantic City, and then on the way back, we stopped at his favorite pizza shop, Carluccio's.
Okay.
And we got a grandma's pie, and it was, I mean, hands down, the best pizza I've ever had. It was, man, I wish I could have one every day.
It's only a couple hours away. You could go.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I also read about you was that your father grew up as a Minnesota Twins fan.
Yes.
So when he found out that a former Twin, Aaron Foltz, was going to be your pitching coach at Reading, did he know who Aaron was?
I knew who he was just from spring training, and I knew that he actually played in my hometown and for the Fresno Grizzlies, and played it at Biden Field, a field that I'm pretty familiar with. So I actually didn't know until you told me that he was a Twin, he played for the Twins, but that's pretty funny.
So we were talking to Aaron Foltz earlier about the hijinks in the bullpen. What is it about being in the bullpen that brings guys so close together?
You're just down there for 9 innings a day, every single day. Spend a lot of time with each other. So, and you got a lot of baseball to watch. And, you know, even though we all obviously all love the game, you know, mm-hmm. at times it'll get a little mundane watching the same thing over and over again. So you start to find ways to keep it loose. And, a lot of hours spent together in close quarters, for sure.
Who's the biggest prankster up here?
Jeff Singer, for sure.
Why? Another Jersey guy.
Yeah. He's definitely the most loose and animated out of the bullpen, for sure.
What is the best prank that he pulled that you could actually tell?
Ooh, I don't know. probably nothing. Nothing I could really talk about, honestly. <Not bad.
laughs> Who's the guy in the bullpen that doesn't like the pranks, if there is anyone?
I think we're all pretty good. Yeah. Maybe Aaron Brown. He's a pretty serious guy, but even he'll join in on the fun every now and again.
Now, with all these moves that you've had in the last year and a half, there's a lot of bus rides involved.
Yeah.
How do you fill your time on those bus rides?
A lot of sleeping for me personally.
Are you part of the card games?
Nah, not on the bus. I'll play in the clubhouse, but on the bus, I usually try to either sleep or just kind of fall into a YouTube wormhole and start watching a bunch of random stuff. Yeah.
And in the clubhouse, who's the card shark?
You can always catch Singer, Steven. Singer and Steven are probably the two biggest card players, for sure. I think they're in there playing right now.
All right, well, I'll let you go back and get some games of cards, and thanks for joining us, Connor. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We're here in Reading, Pennsylvania, with South Jersey's favorite son, Jeff Singer. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Happy to be back.
So tell us how things have been going in Reading this year.
It's going good. We win tonight, and Trenton loses. We clinch, so that'll be a really fun night for us. I think we'll really enjoy it, and I think it'll mean a lot to the town of Reading, so really excited.
What's it been like being back at Reading this year, and what have you been working on?
Obviously, I enjoy playing here. I love playing here. It's my third year here. I've just been basically just continuing what I've been doing the last couple of years, doing whatever I can to help the team win and do whatever I can to help the Phillies organization move forward in their what they've been doing. So just enjoying it, working on my slider more, I'd say. But other than that, just doing what I know how to do and keep the team in a position to win.
All right. Well, in addition to you keeping the team in a position to win, and you're doing a great job out of the bullpen, we've interviewed several people this season who have all answered the question of who is the biggest practical joker, as you. Congratulations.
All right, nice. I'll take that. That's awesome.
And when asked what you actually are doing in the bullpen that gives you this honor, they said we would have to ask you. So we need to know some of the bullpen secrets of what Jeff Singer does to imitate the old Roger McDowell bullpen.
I know some stuff I can't say on here, but just a lot of dad jokes and just like kind of keeping everyone loose in the bullpen. Just like to have fun with it. Nothing too crazy. It's baseball's one of those games where if you're locked in 100% of the time, you're probably going to go a little insane. You got to enjoy and have fun on and off the field. So I feel I'm definitely one of those guys that like kind of brings it to everyone back to reality and have a good time.
Ordered pizza in the bullpen?
Haven't had a chance to order pizza in the bullpen. Don't tell Sean, but I might have got a couple hot dogs sent there a few times. But, I just enjoy it down there. I love doing what we do. It's a great group of guys we have. And it's just a lot of fun.
What's it like to be part of a bullpen? It seems almost like a fraternity. You guys are out there. You got to fill your time until the sixth, seventh inning, hopefully.
Yeah, being a reliever in baseball, you got to have something in your mind that's not really right there, I believe. If being a starter, you got your day to where you got to pitch, and then you got 5-6 days to prepare for it. Being a reliever, you could be sitting there, and then you just hear radio down, all right, get Hernandez going, and Hernandez is up throwing, and then he's in the game, and you just said it's been 5-10 minutes, what just happened? So you got to be able to flip a switch when you're in the bullpen, and I think that's with the group of guys we have. We got a great group of guys that are capable of doing that.
The last time we talked to you, we talked about your crazy journey to get here. You're a guy who appreciates everything that you get, every opportunity you have. What's it like for you to go through it and see guys come up and get to work with them at the same time as trying to improve your own game?
It's great. Me being the new guy here in 2016, it was kind of culture shock. I wasn't really knowing what I was going to expect, and now I'm one of the older guys, and I feel like I'm one of the guys that will talk and settle some of the guys down and be able to, like they said, have some fun and enjoy it while we're here. And it's just a great opportunity for all of us, and I'm just really lucky to be part of what's going on right now in the Phillies organization.
You mentioned the game tonight, and and the opportunity to potentially win the first half, depending on what happens with Trenton. We often ask the managers, you know, the goal between development versus winning. As a player, you're obviously trying to develop. When you get in that opportunity to win, how special is it to have a game like tonight where you've got some stuff on the line that you want?
Oh, it's really special. You know, I know the minor leagues is all about developing and getting us to the big leagues, but when you get a chance to make it to playoffs and get a ring in the minor leagues, you know, for me, I haven't had a dog pile yet in the minor leagues. I haven't had a champagne shower yet in the minor leagues. So that's something I'm really going to enjoy if that does happen tonight. And yeah, what managers say is 100% right. We're here to develop and get better so we will perform the big leagues, but you also want to win. You know, baseball is one of those sports where you win or lose every day, and losing is not as much fun as winning.
So let me get this straight. If you win tonight, you're saying that there's going to be a dog pile out on?
I would think so. Yeah. I kind of hope so. I'm looking forward to it. If not, I'm dog piling.
I was going to say, you're going to lead it in dog pile with nobody else there.
If that happens, I guess. But
we're going to see you fly into the mound.
Yeah, I'll tackle someone.
Be there.
I've had a dog pile since junior college, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, so you've been in Reading. I assume your goal is next is to get to Lehigh Valley down the road?
Yeah, I was in Lehigh last year. Uh-huh. The last month of the season, I was with them in playoffs. You know, for me, I'm looking at my career as a day-by-day thing. I never know when it'll be my last day. And Sean, our manager, has a saying, treat every day as it's your last game. And I feel that's something I really like to embrace this year.
So that's one of the things that we always wonder is, how is it how do you stay in the moment and stay in today and not always look towards the future as a ball player?
Honestly, I think it's with having just what we do in the bullpen, just messing around, keeping everyone loose, and just having fun with it. I've came up with a lot of these guys now that we know each other pretty well. Austin Bosar I know really well, and Austin will know if I'm having one of those days where it's kind of dragging along, and he'll basically kick me in the butt and tell me to let's go, and I'll do the same for him. So, you know, I'm around a great group of guys that really help me when it comes to that. And, you know, it's baseball for the minors. We play 140 games, so it's a long season, and especially minor leagues, it's tough, but you just got to have something in your mind to keep on pushing you. And I feel a lot of our guys, probably all of our guys, have that, and it's really fun to watch.
So when we talked to you last year, we were talking about, as Jason mentioned, your journey, and part of that journey was working, I believe, in your uncle's car dealership.
My dad's, yeah. My
your dad's
dad was
car
used car manager.
So did Jeff spend the offseason back at dad's car dealership? Or
no, I didn't actually. I was there a few times. I was there a few times, but I wasn't really working there. Actually, during the offseason, I work at Scanzano Sports Center, which is in Cherry Hill, and I give pitching lessons, and I work with their high school teams that come through there, and then they have an AAU team combat there. So, you know, it's a great group of guys that work there. Awesome family-oriented place that I love working at. They treat me great. Yeah. I actually had a few of the guys come see me pitch the other day. So it's really cool. I love working there. The kids I get to work with is awesome, so I really enjoy it.
What's it like when you see them come here and look up to you?
It's great. You know, I pitched good when they came here, which was good, nice.
That so makes it even better.
They got to see that actually the stuff I say is true. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so, but nah, it's really cool. You know, it's funny. Guys will be like, oh, wait, so you know Scott Kinger? I'm like, yeah, I play with him in Arizona. Like, he's a pretty good friend of mine now. And they're like, that's so cool. And I'm like, it's just Scott. Like, and Scott's an awesome guy. And it's pretty cool just being compared and, like, put in the same area as those guys, knowing, like, that's what I'm doing too.
What's it like to see some of those guys have the success?
It's amazing. It's awesome. You know, the guys that I know up there, I couldn't be happier for them. Hammer's doing a great job, and it's fun watching Hammer pitch. When Austin Davis is up there, it's always fun to watch him pitch. Scott, Mitch Walding, all those guys. It's really just a joy, and, like, great group of guys, and I love seeing them perform and get their opportunities.
Do you ever think you'd be a teacher teaching other kids how to pitch like you get to do there?
I love it. It's the last thing I thought I would be doing, honestly. I could see myself after my career's over becoming a coach, doing something like that, and doing whatever I can to stay in the game, which would be great.
So what are your goals for the second half of the season?
I want to say get out of Reading, but it's definitely get out of Reading.
Except to come back for the playoffs,
yeah,
right?
You know, do whatever I can to help the Phillies organization. They want to keep me here and work on stuff. I'm going to do it. Would love to get up the trips. Would love to get up the big leagues this year. You know, dream come true. It is my rule 5 year, so, you know, it's baseball. You never know what could happen. So I'm just excited to see what happens the next couple of weeks, even months.
All right. Who are you rooming with?
So right now it's me, David Parkinson, Addison Russ, and Connor Brogdon. And then on the road, I room with Bosart. So we always have fun.
So in the house, who's the clean? cleanest and who's the messiest?
Who's the cleanest?
Apparently not you.
Really? Is that what they say? No, oh, is no, that what they're
no,
saying?
No, he just made that up.
I like to think I'm pretty clean.
So there you go.
I like to think I'm pretty clean, but I would say probably Russ. You know, it's minor league baseball. We got two guys in the living room and one guy with each bed, so you know how it is. So it's kind of tough to see who's who, but I would probably say Addison Russ. And then when me and Bo start room on the road together, we're basically both clean guys, so we take care of it pretty well.
What's it like to room on the road as a pitcher and a catcher?
It's great because, you know, he went to Penn University and I went to three colleges, so a lot of people are shocked that me and him are such good friends. But, you know,
You have more colleges.
Yeah, that's right, I always tell him. And he always says, yeah, I guess that counts. But, you know, me and Bo are really good friends. You know, we come from different backgrounds. When you meet us, you think we're entirely different people, but we have a lot of the same similarities. We have the same interests. We both love Star Wars and video games and just like hanging out and having a good time. So it really works out for us.
What's the travel been like this year? How are you handling all the road trips? Obviously, we talk about the journey of minor league players and the struggles. How are you holding up with that all?
It's, for me, not bad. Since it's my third year, I got a little more a little more leeway over guys. So I get my own seat on the bus, which is nice.
Oh, you got some seniority now.
Yeah, I got seniority. So it's pretty good. I haven't really been too much in complaining. I haven't been to Portland yet, which I know is our longest trip. So we leave for Portland after this. So after that bus trip, I could probably let you guys know if my mind's changed at all.
So what do you do on the long bus rides? Are you a sleeper or are you up doing stuff with the guys?
We usually be watching a movie, listening to music. Everyone's got Nintendo Switches now, so we'll be playing Mario Kart and all those games. So it's a pretty good time.
Are you a card player too?
We play cards. We play Pluck. Basically just Pluck, which is basically spades without just including spades. We mix it all up.
So. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We actually look forward to seeing you tackle somebody tonight.
Yeah, I look forward to it. All right.
Thanks
have a good
lot,
one.
Jeff.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Jeff, always fun to talk to those guys. And Jeff Singer and the guys in the bullpen did not disappoint for us.
Yeah, I mean, look, they seem to have a lot of fun in the bullpen with their Mortal Kombat dance, and Jeff seems to be the guy who's a little older, like a year or two older than the other guys, so he seems to keep that bullpen together, keep them loose when necessary and strong when necessary. But look at his last 10 games, 2-0, 3.29 ERA, one save, and in 13.2 innings in those 10 games, he's only given up 8 hits, walked 5, and struck out an impressive 20 batters.
Well, they're going to need him, and they're going to need the bullpen, the whole farm system well as they go forward. What can we look forward to tonight on the mound for Redding?
We can look forward to JoJo the Jet. He is back with Redding. He had a good game a couple games ago, a little rough outing the last game, but I think he's starting to right the ship, and I think Aaron Fultz is going to do a great job with him.
And you'll be out in Lehigh Valley this weekend for us, correct?
Well, anytime that you can have bacon and bamboo, how can you miss out? Plus, I believe it's Ninja Turtle night.
That sounds good. I will have you get a picture with the Ninja Turtles, or you weren't there. So we want.
What's your favorite Ninja Turtle? Do you want an autograph?
Raphael, if you could get that done, that'd be great. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Now we hand it over to Greg Caserta and Christian Garbach as they take you up to the first pitch for the Fightins here on 610 ESPN. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the ballgame.